Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, and we're going to read one verse, verse number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, verse number 1, we're reading from the King James Bible, and when you have that, let's all read together in unison, shall we? Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. I'm going to talk to you this morning about being more ready to hear. Be more ready to hear. Dear God, again, thank you for loving us. Thank you for salvation that we have the Lord Jesus. And dear Jesus, thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross to pay for our sins, dear God. And now please meet with us. Dear Holy Spirit of God, bless these dear folks for their faithfulness, the junior church, the nursery. And Lord, we just want to tell you how much we love you this morning. Just the fact that we showed up, dear God, these dear folks, they could have been anywhere else. They decided, they chose to be here this morning. That's an indication, a fruit of their love for thee and for others. Please meet with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear. I'm going to talk to you this morning about being more ready to hear in the house of God. Be more ready to hear in the house of God. If you're in the book of Ecclesiastes there, if you turn one page previous, or maybe it's on the same page as it is in my Cambridge edition here, Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, it's one of the most famous chapters in the Bible. And notice the what you would think maybe the contradictions and the two extremes or the juxtapositions of these verses as we read them. The Bible says, starting verse number 1, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What an interesting chapter it is, because the Bible says in verse number 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Take your Bible, please, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 23, first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 23, and I'm going to read the first three verses here that Jesus was speaking right before he was going to skin the Pharisees and the scribes alive, right before he was going to preach a hellfire and damnation sermon that no Baptist preacher has ever preached harder, in the presence of these hypocrites, these serpents, these liars. He says in Matthew 23, verse number 1, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Now look at verse number 3, please. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. I'm going to talk to you this morning about paying attention in church. Be more ready to hear in God's house. You ought to listen in God's house to the sermon as if you're the only one in the room. Don't be concerned about somebody else. You ought to be paying attention to yourself and applying whatever you're listening to from the Word of God to yourself only. This is not a worship service. This is not a sanctuary in the Old Testament sense. This is a meeting room where we have come to sing praise to God, to pray to God, to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Worship ought to be done 24/7, and not relegate it to 1 hour like the Catholics and the Protestants hypocritically do. When you come to church, you ought to prepare your heart and your mind. I personally believe this is one of the most important sermons you'll ever hear in your life. I would suggest you pay attention this morning. You need to pray and ask God to give you what you need, not what you want. If it does not apply to you now, then you're free to take notes if you want to. Listen to it if it gets recorded. And remember it for future use. Use it to help others and to encourage others. Remember, the best way to help yourself is to help others first. The best way for God to bless you is for you to be a blessing to others. Church does not save or teach. Preachers and teachers teach. God saves. But God uses people. If you read 1 Corinthians 7:16, God uses people to save others. God saves and God teaches. King James Bible only. John the Baptist baptized Jesus. That's why we ought to be Baptists. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you and I. Preaching does not convict. God, the Holy Spirit, convicts. Because two different individuals can come away with two different perspectives of the same sermon. When the individual is willing and submissive to God's will, then the sermon, the teaching, can be convicting. The Bible says fools mock at sin. We ought to be concerned of what sort we have, the Bible says. Not how big we are, but what sort we are. We ought to be preparing each other, one another, for the judgment seat of Christ. I personally believe that's one of the most important duties of a pastor is to prepare the people for the coming judgment seat of Christ that you and I are going to stand before God and give an account. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2 that we ought to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Sin in the camp affects the working of the Holy Spirit of God amongst the believers. It hurts the fellowship. It hurts the gathering, the assembling. But it's the preacher's, one of the preacher's duties to preach against sin. Your sin and other people's sin. And his own sin. When you come to church, you get to see professions of salvations being made. People who come forward and trust Christ to be their Savior and they make a public profession. When you come to church, you see people getting baptized after they get saved. When you come to church, you see people getting right with God. When you come to church, you comfort those who are wounded or healing spiritually. When you come to church, you see folks that are reconciling. When you come to church, you see sinners being warned. You watch the spiritual growth of others. Your prayers are offered, your prayers are answered. You get to see children walking and running and laughing that are happy and glad and joyful in God's house. When you come to church, you share the burdens and the struggles and the trials that bind us closer to each other. The preaching prepares us for the coming battles that we have no idea that are coming down the road. It prepares us to fight. It prepares us for the war, the spiritual war that's coming. When you come to church, you find it's a place that you can serve God for everyone. Everyone can serve God. Everyone can smile, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone can greet, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone can be friendly, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone can sing. Everyone can clean, and everyone can give. Some people can fix things. Some people can cook. Everybody can go soul winning. Everybody can go visiting. Everybody can be encouraging. Everybody can help. Some people lead. Most people follow. Whether it's the revivals or the missionaries or testimonies or meeting new friends, you need church so you can have accountability, somebody who's watching over you spiritually, who's concerned about you. When you come to church, you hear about current events. I suggest, as I always do, that if you're able to, you ought to attend the John Birch Society meetings. One of the greatest things I have ever learned outside of church was attending John Birch Society meetings. You'll understand if you go there. When you come to church, you ought to understand why you ought to be a libertarian. You know, I haven't said this in a while, but I became a Republican about 6 or 7 years ago whenever Ron Paul ran for office. And I wanted to vote for Ron Paul, so reluctantly I joined the Republican Party. But let me tell you, I can't stand the Republican Party. And they're not your friends. I'm just telling you right now. I hate the Democratic Party, but the Republican Party is not your friend. I want you to remember that. Remember that.
They're going to throw you under the bus and run you over because I'm telling you, the Democrats and the Republican leadership hate you. Remember that. It'll come back. You'll remember the statement. You'll remember. You learn the truths in the Word of God, from the Word of God in the house of God. When you come to church, you hear the announcements. People who have died, the funerals coming up, weddings, guest preachers, visiting preachers, the repairs of the building that need to be done. It's a place where you are loved, a place where newborn babies are brought, preparing meals for mothers who have just given birth. You need a well-balanced spiritual diet. You need adult Bible study. You need Sunday morning. You need Sunday night. You need Wednesday night to be spiritually fed from the King James Bible. And why? To be mature. I think the biggest, the thing that's lacking the most in most Bible-believing churches is maturity. People are too immature today. I don't care how much Bible you think you know. I don't care if you've heard the best sermons in your life. Most people are lacking maturity today. And a well-balanced diet on the adult Bible study, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, will feed you correctly to grow up. The word perfect in the Bible does not mean sinless. It means to be mature and to grow up. You can be perfect, even though you're a sinner saved by grace, because the Bible word for perfect means to be complete or grown up. You'll learn more about Jesus in the house of God. You learn more about the Word of God in the house of God. You need to be taught about the snares that the devil's laid for you and for others. You need to hear about why the Bible perversions are dangerous. You need to know why non-Baptist churches do not go soul winning. They don't go street preaching. They're not hated by the world. You ought to know the difference between independent fundamental Baptist churches and all the others. Pastor, how come you've never preached on, A, B, or C? Well, that's because you disobeyed God and missed church that sermon that I preached. I can't tell you how many people have told me, Pastor, how come you never preach on this subject? Well, if you were here at the adult Bible study on Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night, you wouldn't ask such a stupid question. I preached the entire counsel of God more than once, twice, or thrice, over and over, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the preacher's fault because you decided to disobey the Word of God on purpose. You chose to miss church. You chose to decide to leave God out. It's not my fault that your belly is your God instead of Jesus Christ being your God. We're our own God instead of Jesus being our God. I'm talking about generally speaking now, churches and in America. America's physical diet correlates with America's spiritual diet. Most Americans want sugar-coated artificial food and with artificial coloring. Most Americans want sugar-coated talks instead of hellfire and damnation preaching. You take advice and counsel from people who are not saved, who are not soul winners, who are not faithfully attending all their church services. People who don't tithe, you're taking advice and counsel from them. People who don't dress modestly, people who are not separated from the world. Then you criticize a preacher and the people of God that you made the wrong decision about and you listened to the wrong crowd about that hated God and hated the man of God and hated the people of God. This is not a Hollywood production, a cinema or a movie theater. We don't have disco lights, a dimly lit room where it feels like you're watching a Broadway show or a late night comedy show. We don't have multicolored stage lights. It's not a play or widescreen TVs with bouncing balls for singing instead of the old hymnals. We have the King James Bible only reading. You should bring your Bibles with you when you come to church. We don't have rock and roll music or religious contemporary music pumped in like you're at Chuck E. Cheese or a rock concert or an amusement park where you can't even hear yourself think. We don't have electric guitars and rock bands. We're not popular. We're not worldly. Our church services are not sensual. We don't have a dance floor party atmosphere. It's not an indoor carnival, not a fashion show, not a nightclub, not tongues, not charismatic, not Pentecostal, not evangelical, not Protestant, not Catholic. Amen. We have weeping and tears for sinners to be saved and for believers to get right with God. We have people pleading with others. We have rejoicing and praising God for who He is and how good He is. There's holiness and godliness. We're separatists. We are hated by the world and the backslidden, rebellious people of God. We are despised and mocked and ridiculed. We have been persecuted, disdain thrown our way. People are jealous and envious because Dr. Jesus operates on hearts when you're more ready to hear. Sin-sick folks that are spiritually handicapped, spiritually blind, spiritually crippled, spiritually disabled, spiritually recovering, going through spiritual recuperation. Hearts are broken and wounded. People's lives are in despair. They've been betrayed. But thank God we have salvation preached from the pulpit of Grace Baptist Church. Thank God we have love and mercy and forgiveness preached from the pulpit of Grace Baptist Church. Thank God we have another chance and a third chance and a fifth chance and a tenth chance and a thousandth chance. Thank God we get reminded all the time. Thank God that our memory is jarred. Thank God we can learn about life and finances and health and potential that we have for God. That soon coming death is upon all of us. The eternity will soon begin. How we ought to love people, about relationships and marriage and children and family and church and nation and duty, responsibilities and sacrifice and going the second mile and turning the other cheek and learning about Jesus. That's why we have church, ladies and gentlemen. We ought to be more ready to hear in the house of God, the Bible says. Most people pick out a church that they're comfortable in. Anytime you get to where you are comfortable in this church, that means I'm not performing my duty as a preacher. Anytime you feel comfortable in your sin and your backslidden rebellious state, that means you're turning God off and not reading and heeding the Word of God. Anytime you feel comfortable not obeying the Word of God, that is a time you need to get right with God and stop making excuses as to why you're not doing what God commanded you to do. It's not the preacher's fault for preaching the Word of God that you get upset at. It's not the preacher's fault. It's amazing how much your spirit and your attitude would change if you just turned around and started doing what God said and going God's direction in your life. It is a choice. It's a decision you make. My duty is to preach the whole counsel of God, including the areas where you are falling short in and trying to make excuses why you cannot do what God has commanded you to do. People pick churches that do not have Sunday evening services because it'll crimp their video game lifestyle. And they'll say, well, my church doesn't have Sunday night. Well, pick a church that has Sunday night preaching. Or they'll miss adult Bible study because it interferes with their belly-eating breakfast at the restaurant or the diner in the morning while church is going on. People want to have church at home. I'm not against having home churches in the Bible. They had church in their houses. But today, usually the dad is running the church, the same dad who's robbing God, not giving his tithes and offerings to the storehouse. The same hypocrite, lying, robbing dad is leading the singing and the preaching at a house church. The ones that usually do not go soul winning, the ones that are not getting on their Sunday best, but are still in their pajamas. They listen to sermons online instead of being in God's house with God's people. They cannot see and hear all that goes on when God's people meet. They don't care because they're selfish. They have no idea who is singing the special singing. They have no idea what song or hymn we sang. They have no idea if the pastor announced any deaths, funerals, weddings, or other public announcements. They have no idea what is going on during the invitation. They have no idea who or how many are getting baptized. They have no idea if one of their friends or acquaintances showed up for church after 5 or 10 years being away from God. But they're addicted to Facebook and live streaming and all the other social media outlets that are not church. Facebook is not church. I don't care if you watch a video later on. That's not church. Church is a gathering of the assembly together. Like most believers, they don't care to help others. They just want others to help them. Like most believers, they listen to gossip in the wrong crowd, and their hearts and their minds are poisoned by liars. Like most believers, they think that they do not need the assembling of themselves together or the need to attend all the church services. Maybe, just maybe, the one that you were supposed to marry showed up in church the one time you nonchalantly missed because you thought something else was more important than obeying Hebrews 10:25. Maybe, just maybe, the one employer who was looking for workmen and had openings for jobs came into church that morning that you decided to skip out on. Just maybe, the sermon you needed the most in your life at that time was the one that you missed because of a picnic or a hunting or a fishing trip, a sporting event, some other non-work-related appointment, and your marriage ended up in divorce. Your family fell apart. You went bankrupt. Foreclosure came. Just for one sermon. You have no idea how many times someone has come to church and asked me, doesn't so-and-so come to church here? Then the other person shows up 3 weeks later. That person comes and says, hey, doesn't so-and-so come to church here anymore? I can't tell you how many times in the past someone's told me that they needed to get a copy of that sermon this morning for so-and-so. I need to get a copy of that, only to find out that the sermon did not record. That's right. You'll hear it at the judgment seat of Christ. You'll hear it in eternity.
finally realizing that you messed up your life because you disobeyed Hebrews 10:25. My Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. My Bible says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. My Bible says iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. My Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, I see the day approaching, ladies and gentlemen. My Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You folks have been addicted before you got saved. You know what addiction is. Well, now that you're saved, you ought to be addicted to the ministry of the saints of the house of God. You ought to be addicted to the word of God. You ought to have withdrawals when you're not reading the Bible. You ought to have withdrawals when you're not praying. You ought to have withdrawals when you're not coming to church. It ought to bother you. My Bible says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. My Bible says, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. My Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Praise God, bless God. Church time is the most important time on my schedule, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing takes the place of church time, ladies and gentlemen. It's got to be an emergency, a sickness, some kind of emergent work-related thing that I got to go to. And by the way, I'm 62 years old. I've been pastoring almost 32 years. I've probably have missed, and I'm guessing right now, around 5 times church services in the last 35 years, maybe. 5 times. I'm talking about adult Bible study, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You wonder why people's lives are messed up? Because they don't think. You've been listening to somebody say, oh, you don't have to go to church. And look at their lives. You don't need to go to church again. You already went. Look at their lives, how they're falling apart. My Bible says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. My Bible says, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now that's one of the most interesting verses in the Bible, because the Bible is very clear that Jesus said, thy word is truth. It never says the church is truth, because you know churches become corrupt and church is full of sinners. Preacher from on down, everyone's a bunch of sinners. But it's interesting that God says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. You know what the church is supposed to do? Point you to the truth. Point you to Jesus. Point you to King James Bible. And you need church to remind you of that all the time. So, well, soul winning is more important than church. It may be, but you'll stop soul winning if you stop coming to church. Amen. Yeah, but the word of God is more important than church. It may be, but you'll stop reading your Bible if you stop coming to church. You know that's true. You need preaching and I need preaching. In the house of God, in the assembling and the gathering together. My Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? When you destroy the foundation, the ground, the pillar of truth, the church, you're destroying the foundation of society, ladies and gentlemen. What's wrong with our country? What's wrong with our nation? What's wrong with society, Pastor? God's people forsaking the house of God. That's what's wrong with it. That's what's wrong with it. My Bible says, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I prepared for the holy house. You can point your fingers at somebody else, but you're not going to point your finger at this preacher for taking a salary for the last 30 years, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you, when you don't tithe, you're robbing God and God's going to curse you. And you don't support the ministry here and you don't support missionaries around the world. Just look how your finances are today. Just look back how long you've been robbing God. You just tip God. You'll buy your brand new fancy sneakers. You'll buy brand new fancy clothes. And you'll go vacation. You'll spend hundreds and thousands of dollars. And I'm not against any of that. But bless God, when you rob God to do that, God's curse is on you. Amen. I don't know about you, but God's blessed me. Let me read that verse again. It says, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above
all that I've prepared for the holy house.
When Jacob fell asleep, he tarried there all night because his sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. The Bible says he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending, ascending and descending. Don't tell me God doesn't hear prayers of somebody in church. Better. So, well, you don't need a church to be saved. That may be true, but you're not going to be right with God if you don't come to church. And I'm just to be good. God says a lot in the Bible about your prayers being, in the Old Testament, toward Jerusalem, toward the temple, amen? Don't tell me God's not going to listen to you when the communion of the Holy Spirit with the saints is gathered together. That's why there's more power in the house of God when you come here. Why? Because we're all, the people that come to church are more open to the things of God. And so you get a better flow, a better power of the Holy Spirit of God in the assembly than you do by yourself. You understand that? I won't understand until we get to heaven, but that's what the Bible teaches. So the angels are ascending and descending. This ladder that Jacob saw, Jacob's ladder. And he woke up and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." He called the place Bethel, meaning the house of God. He poured oil on there. And he said, "This stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Your spiritual condition correlates with your affection to the house of God. Mark her down. You make light of the word of God. You make light of the house of God. And then later on, God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee." And Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, pay attention, please. You know what he said? He said, "Put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went." And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ear. The Bible says he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel because there a God appeared unto him. You know how many people gotten saved at the Boys Club 32 years ago? You know how people got saved at 736 3rd Avenue, Troy, New York? You know how people got saved at 612 4th Avenue, Troy, New York? You better mark it down, ladies and gentlemen. You better mark it down. There's a ladder that goes up and down from God's house. The prayers are answered in God's house. God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, "Thy name is Jacob," and Jacob means deceiver. "Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name." Israel means prince, by the way. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, "I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. King shall come out of thy loins," he said. God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon. He poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel. He didn't realize, just a little while later, Rachel travailed and she had hard labor. And Rachel died and was buried. You're not going to make it without church. You're not going to make it without the preaching of the word of God. You think you're going to make it. You think you have heartaches and trials now and struggles now? You have no idea what's coming down the pike, ladies and gentlemen. You better prepare for it by listening to the word of God in the house of God with the people of God. Amen. Where else are you going to go where people love you? Where are you going to be comforted? Where are you going to be encouraged? Where are you going to be exhorted? Take your Bible, please turn with me to Psalm 73, please. Psalm 73. Psalm 73, starting in verse number 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compassed them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily, they set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against a generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. I know you think the wicked are getting away with everything, with sin. Life's not fair. Until the next verse pops up. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. I'll remind you that all the haters of God are going to burn in hell one day. All these wicked rulers who persecute God's people are going to burn in hell one day. I'll remind you, people that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ are going to burn in hell for all eternity. And when you look about and say, man, it's not fair that these people who get drunk all the time and these pot smokers and these thieves and these felons, it's not fair that they're getting away with all this and I'm suffering. There will be a judgment, ladies and gentlemen. There will be a time where God's going to level the playing field for everybody. You're not going to take any money with you when you die. You're going to check it all out, man. You're going to check it here. You're not taking your house, your car with you. You're not taking your clothes with you. The only thing you're taking with you is the Lord Jesus Christ and souls that have been won. You're going to understand in heaven, it was well worth being faithful to God all your life long. As for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Verse 3, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Don't worry about it. You trust Jesus, amen. You praise God, amen. You thank God that you're saved. If you're saved, you don't have any problems. You just think you have problems, amen. Blessed be God, if our loved ones are saved, we're going to have a reunion on the other side, amen. This is not all there is to life, ladies and gentlemen. Thank God for salvation, amen. Thank God for Jesus. My Bible says in Titus chapter number 1 that in due times, God's manifested his word through preaching. God's manifested his word through preaching. So you read it on my own. Yeah, you can read it on your own, but you're going to learn something in church. You won't learn reading by yourself, being backslidden away from God. My Bible says that Jesus is the head of the body, the church, in Colossians chapter number 1, that he, in all things, he might have the preeminence. This body, this church, is his body, the Bible says in Colossians chapter number 1. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, that he is the head over all things in the church. Ephesians chapter number 5, the Bible says Christ is the head of the church. In Ephesians chapter number 2, the Bible says you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We don't need 612 Fourth Avenue to meet, amen. We just need believers to meet, amen. The building, the temple that he's talking about is the spiritual building of the communion of the saints, not the brick and mortar that we're meeting in today. Colossians chapter number 2 says, not holding the head, capital H, head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God.
Yeah, you're live streaming your church in your pajamas thinking you're having church there with somebody else 500 miles away and somebody else 100 miles away and somebody else 2,000 miles. And you think in your mind you're having church. You're not having church if you're not helping somebody, encouraging somebody, and greeting somebody. You're not having church when you're trying to love somebody. My Bible says in Ephesians 4, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. Ephesians 4:25 says we are members one of another. Ephesians 5 says we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Colossians 3 says you are called in one body. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 12, he that showeth mercy, he ought to do it with cheerfulness. You can't show mercy to somebody on the other side of a TV screen or computer screen having internet church somewhere. 1 Corinthians 12 is very clear. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. The Bible says in verse 25 that there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. When you're staying home, you have no idea who's suffering. You have no idea who's hurting. You have no idea who's going through a trial. The Bible says when one member be honored, then all the members rejoice with it. You're happy when you get your paycheck. You're happy when you get a raise. You're happy when you get a job. Happy when you get a car. But you're not happy when you go to church, huh? That's pretty sad. The Bible says daily in the temple, in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Your TV's going to break. Your computer screen's going to break. Your cell phone's going to break. But Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Your social media is going to fail. Your telecommunications are going to fall. But upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'd rather be in God's house with God's people hearing the word of God from the man of God than live streaming any sermon or watching a video of any sermon. Nothing can replace the house of God with the people of God listening to the man of God preach the word of God. Nothing can replace that. My Bible says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. My Bible says in Acts 2, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Are people added to your home church every day? Huh? I don't think so. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Behold how, Bible says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. My Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Hebrews 2:12 says, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Why can't you sing? Why can't you praise God? Why can't you just give glory to God? Why can't you smile? Why can't you be glad that you're a child of God saved? My Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. So you like singing to yourself, by yourself. I like singing with God's people. I like singing congregational songs. My Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, comfort yourselves together. Edify one another. My Bible says in Thessalonians that, you know, talking about the Lord's coming, you ought to comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another, not yourself, one another. That's church, ladies and gentlemen. That's the house of God with the people of God. That too often we make light of. Because the people we're listening to that are not right with God are convicted, don't want you to go to God's house because they're not going to God's house. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Psalm 150 verse 1 says, praise God in his sanctuary. I know we don't have an old temple sanctuary, Old Testament temple, but we can praise God in whatever sanctuary we have, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. My Bible says in Isaiah 56:7, make them joyful in my house of prayer. That's what God said. Make them joyful in my house of prayer. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. The Bible says he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The Bible says that we ought to grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. What do you think about the house of God? Are you more ready to hear? We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. People don't want to be held accountable. That's why they don't want to go to church. People don't want to give an account to somebody, so they think if they miss out, they're not accountable to anybody. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. 1 John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Not by yourself. If we walk in the light, you'll be in church. As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Not that Sunday is more important than Monday, but today's the first day of the week. And it says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. My Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. My Bible says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre. And by the way, I'm not against a pastor taking salary. Don't misunderstand anything I'm saying. But you're not going to ever be able to levy a charge against me taking your money that you put in the offering basket. You're the one that's robbing God, and God's cursing you as a result. Amen. It's my job to preach it. Amen. My Bible says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In 2 Chronicles 29, they gathered them together into the east street. In 2 Chronicles 32, they gathered them together to him in the street. In Ezra 10:9, all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter. In Nehemiah 8, verse 1, the Bible says, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. In verse number 3, he read therein before the street. I'm for street preaching, amen. He read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And in verse 16, the Bible says, the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, everyone upon the roof of his house. Do you ever see the old houses that are about 150, 200 years old? They got a little room up there on the top of the roof with windows on all the side. That comes right out of here, out of Nehemiah chapter number 8, verse 16, by the way. That used to be a prayer room, prayer closet, where people used to pray when the sun was coming up or before the sun came up. Preach from the housetops, the Bible says. They said in Nehemiah 8, 16, I'll close with this. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. You know what? We can have church anywhere we want to. Amen. We don't need anybody's permission to gather together anywhere. I don't care if it's a national emergency. I don't care if it's a war. I don't care if it's a depression. I don't care if it's an executive order. Never overrides the word of God, ladies and gentlemen. You need church more than you think you need church. If you want God to bless you, you better heed what I said this morning. If you don't mind God cursing you, then don't worry about it. You'll see it in the judgment seat of God, and you'll see the rest of your life being cursed. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have the power of God, the blessings of God. I still want to reach people with the gospel and win people. How do you do that? Come to church getting fired up, amen. Come to church getting convicted, amen. Come to church saying, man, woe is me. I thought I was doing all right. I mean, listen to me good. I was saved November 1978. I got saved, so I read my Bible. And I, as I said in the adult Bible, so I started changing some things. It wasn't until, listen to me good, March of 1986 that I sat in the first row of pastor school in the balcony. And that church meeting changed my life. This church came out of the first row on the balcony at pastor school in Hammond, Indiana. Because I saw a man of God preaching in the house of God. Don't ever, ever underestimate the house of God. That is a King James Bible and a man of God preaching it. Don't ever underestimate it. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the house of God. How often, Lord, we've fallen short. How often, dear God, we've compromised and made excuses. We have enough. We think we do. We don't have to read the Bible today or tomorrow. We don't have to pray today or tomorrow. We don't have to go to church today or tomorrow, next week. We're doing good, we think. Oh, dear God, please be merciful to us. Please be patient with us. Thank you for these dear folks, Lord, that decided, they chose to obey the word of God to come to church today. I pray that you bless. I pray if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, that today would be their day of salvation. I pray if anybody's in this room, they're saved, but they've not been baptized, that today they'll get baptized. And I pray, dear God, if anybody in this room is slighting the house of God in any way, shorting the house of God in any way, dear God, may you speak to their heart, convict them, bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you do business with God.